football is on the minds of many at this time. Last Monday night was the college championship, and some people watched that here. I know because they told me. And now the championship games are coming up here today, and then 2 weeks, I guess, that it's the what? The Super Bowl. Some people are thinking about football, and other people can't wait for football to be over. There's some amens there. But I wanted to tell you a story about a football player. There was a football player who was scheduled to retire. And he was asked by the coach to stay on the team to help the coach with recruitment. So the man asked the coach, "What kind of men, coach, are you interested in?" And the coach replied, "Well, there's a kind of man who plays and gets knocked down and he quits. We are not interested in that type of man. Then there's another kind of man who plays and he gets knocked down, but he gets up and he gets knocked down again. And after several times getting knocked down, he quits. We are not after that kind of man. But then there is the man, the kind of man who plays with all his heart, and he gets knocked down and he gets up. And he gets knocked down and he gets up. And he gets knocked down and he gets up. And he still is there to play with all his heart. He plays his heart out." And the understudy said to the coach, "Oh, that's the kind of man you want me to recruit, right?" And the coach said, "No." He said, "I want you to recruit the guy that's knocking all those guys down." Is your Christian life characterized by defeat and failure? Is your Christian life a miserable struggle where you keep getting knocked down by sin and Satan? The Bible reveals that, you know what? God wants us to live victorious Christian lives. Now, by victorious Christian lives, I don't mean a life free of battle. And we'll see this. We're always going to have battle in the Christian life. And by victorious Christian life, I don't mean that he wants you or you will ever live a perfect life. Because that ain't going to happen this side of heaven. But what I mean by, what the Bible, I think, means by a victorious Christian life, it's a life when knocked down, you get up. And you keep on going. And instead of you being the one knocked down and kicked around all the time, that you're knocking down sin and Satan and living in the power and the victory of Jesus Christ. God wants us to live that kind of life. And the key to living the victorious life is found in our scripture today. And if you'd have your Bibles, please turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be considering verses 16 through 26. And as you turn there, let me remind us of the context. First of all, the theme of Galatians is the gospel of freedom. The gospel of freedom. There were false teachers who had invaded the churches of Galatia. And they were teaching, promoting a false gospel. They were saying to be saved, you need to believe in Jesus. And that's right, amen. But they were adding too. You need to believe in Jesus and you also need to keep the law. You need to keep the law. And Paul said that's a perversion of the gospel. That's a perversion of the gospel. That, in fact, that's not even a gospel at all. Paul taught that here's the true gospel. Listen, gospel's good news. Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, according to Scripture. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again, according to Scripture. He's a living Savior. He died for our sins, That's good news. And he rose again and defeated death. That's good news. And the gospel is that now to be saved, we got to believe that. And we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the gospel. That's what Paul was promoting here in the book of Galatians. Now, in the first four chapters 1 and 2, he gives an argument for the gospel of freedom from his own personal experience. He said, man, it changed my life. I used to be a murderer, now I'm a missionary. I used to be a blasphemer, now I'm a believer. I used to be a persecutor, now I'm a preacher. It changed his life. And he shows how the gospel of freedom changed his life and gives an argument from personal experience. In chapters 3 and 4, he gives the doctrinal argument, or the argument from Scripture. And he shows from Old Testament Scripture. I think in 3 and 4, there's like 9 Old Testament Scriptures that are quoted in those chapters. And he shows that we are justified by faith apart from works of the law. You're not justified by the law, but faith apart from works of the law. Abraham believed God, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And so he goes and supports that argument from doctrine and from Scripture. Now in chapters 5 and 6, where we find ourselves now today, he gives the practical side of the gospel of grace. If we really believe the gospel of grace, how's it going to work out in our lives? What's it going to look like worked out in our lives? And you remember Pastor Jeremy preached chapter 5 beginning last week. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. He says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Freedom. Listen to this. Christian freedom is not the right to do what you want. It's the power to do what you ought. That's Christian freedom, folks. It's not the right to do what you want. It's the power to do what you ought. And Paul says it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. You know what? The law can't set you free. The law can't show you, it can't give you the power to be what you ought. The law has a purpose. The purpose of the law was to show us that we are what? We're sinners. Everybody in this church right now, anybody listening to this message, we're all in the same boat. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners. We're transgressors. And the law is like a mirror. It shows us that we are sinners. It shows us that. And then the law points us to the solution, which is Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary. That's the purpose of the law. And he said, don't go back under the law. If you're a Christian, the law has served its purpose. You're free. Look down at verse 13. He says that for you were called to freedom, brethren. You're called to be free. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh or a cloak for the flesh. In other words, freedom, listen, freedom is not license. Freedom, again, is not the right to do what we want. It's not license to sin. Again, Brother Jeremy did a great job in this. But, you know, if somebody says, you know, now I'm a Christian. I prayed the prayer and now I can do what I want. They're not saved. I'm sorry, they're not saved. They don't even understand what grace is. Because grace is not a motivation to go out and sin. Grace is a deterrent. It's the greatest deterrent to sin. When we realize what God did for us, we want to live for him. So he says, for freedom you've been set free. Don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Do you know how free I am? Do you know how free you are? We can make ourselves servants. Boy, that's different than the world, isn't it? Who wants to serve out in the world? But you know what? We're so free. I can serve you in love. That's Christian freedom. But you know what? Why is it so hard to live the Christian life? Why is there a struggle? Why is there a struggle? I had a man ask me once, and these were his words. Pastor, if Christianity is true, and accepting Christ brings salvation, why is it so hard to live out the Christian life? Did you ever think of that? Why is this so hard? Glad you asked. Number one on your outline, the conflict within. Let me read verses 16 and 17. The conflict within. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Why is it so hard? What's the problem? We've got two natures. If you're a Christian, you've got two natures. Verse 17 says, the flesh sets itself against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, or the flesh lusts against the Spirit, the King James says, and the Spirit against the flesh. When it's talking about the flesh, it's not talking about our human body. The human body is neutral. When it's talking about the flesh, it's talking about our fallen nature. It's talking about our Adamic nature. That is the nature we've inherited from Adam. The nature we are born with. The fallen nature. Sometimes we call it the sin nature, which dwells in the flesh. So we have that fallen nature. And when we become a Christian, that nature's still there. That nature's still there. But when we become a Christian, we get a new nature. The Spirit of God comes in us, and we have a divine nature. And therein is the problem, or therein is the battle, the conflict, because they are totally contrary to one another. In fact, the results of two natures, all-out war. World War III's already started in you and in me. John Bunyan, you're familiar with the name. He's the one that wrote, what? Pilgrim's Progress. But he also wrote another famous book called The Holy War. The Holy War. And in that book, he tells about the war, the holy war that's going on inside the Christian. Verse 17 talks about it. It says that these two natures are in opposition or contrary to one another. They're at war against one another. The word against two times in that verse. It means that they are antagonistic toward one another. You see, the Spirit in us wants to glorify God, magnify and lift up Jesus Christ, please God. But the flesh, oh, that flesh wants to glorify and magnify and lift up who? Yourself. Self. Pamper me. Promote me. Please me. That's what the flesh says. And they're totally opposite one another. There's a book out called The War Within by Craig Massey. And in that book, he writes, the author writes, listen to these words, few believers understand the intensity of the warfare. The old nature, godless, unbelieving, egocentric, selfish, and linked to the world, wants to control the individual for fleshly gratifications. The new nature, spiritual, believing, related to Christ, and eternal, wants to control the individual to promote eternal values. It's a running battle with no surrender. So let me ask you, and you don't have to answer out loud, do you feel the struggle? Do you feel the battle? Well, if you do, you're in good company. because the Apostle Paul felt the battle. And if you want to, you can turn to Romans 7. If you don't, you can just listen. But I want to give a description that he gives of the battle that he had. Listen, this is the Apostle Paul. Starting in Romans 7, verse 15, he says this, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing that I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good I want to do, I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then that the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body." Listen, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Do you feel that struggle? I mean, it was so great for the Apostle Paul. He cries out, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" I mean, it is so intense that there are people that say, "Oh, this could not be the Apostle Paul when he was saved. This has to be BC days before he came to Christ. That couldn't be describing a Christian." The only problem with that, folks, is where it falls in the book of Romans. See, Romans is very, very systematical. First three chapters up to chapter 3:23 is sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The chapter 3:24 through chapter 5 is salvation. We're saved by faith through apart from works of the law. And having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Listen. Chapter 6 through 8 is sanctification. It's sanctification of the Christian. And this falls right in the center of that section. This is Paul. He is battling. And the flesh and the spirit, there's a war within, he says. And who's going to deliver me from this, he says. So, how do we overcome the flesh? Christian, how do you overcome that battle? How do you win that battle? Let me tell you how you don't win the battle. You do not win the battle in the flesh. The flesh can't overcome the flesh. You don't overcome the flesh by education. If I just get more knowledge, I'll overcome the flesh. Or self-help books. You don't overcome the flesh that way. The flesh can't overcome itself. When it comes to overcoming the flesh is weak. So you don't do it through the flesh. The flesh can't overcome the flesh. I'll just try harder. Let me just, you don't have to raise your hands. How many of you have ever set New Year's resolution and not kept them? I'll just try. I'm going to do it. I know a lot of people do, because if you go down the natatorium in January, it's real crowded. By February, it's back to normal. How many of you have ever gone on a diet and done well at first and then blew it? Don't raise your hands. You know? I'm going to try. I'm going to do this. You can't overcome the flesh. Listen. The flesh, listen to this, cannot be refined or reformed. Did you know that? You can't refine or reform the flesh. In fact, the flesh, your flesh, is just as evil and wicked as the day you accepted Christ. Do you know, this year, Linda and I are going to be, we're going to celebrate our 50th birthdays. Don't you laugh. It's true. It's true. I know. I hate to even say I'm going to be 50, but we are. Because 50 years ago, the Lord found us. Praise Jesus. And see, this is that. Praise God. You can praise the Lord. And you know what? It's a miracle because I'm 39 years old. That's just a miracle. But you know what? My flesh is just as wicked and evil as the day I found Christ. Because you can't reform it. You can't refine your flesh. The flesh is flesh. It's evil. It's sin in the flesh. Two natures dwell within my breast. The one is foul, the one is blessed. The one I love, the one I hate. That's what Paul said. He said, I hate it. I hate it. Don't you hate it? How do we win the battle? How do you overcome the flesh? Number two on your outline. The command is walk in the Spirit. Look at verse 16. Walk in the Spirit. He says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The key to living a victorious Christian life is to walk in the Spirit. Is to walk in the Spirit. Let me just say this, and you've heard me say this if you've been here a million times. I'm going to keep on saying it. Listen, the Christian life is not a hard life to live. It's an impossible life to live in your own strength. You can't do it. It's a supernatural life. And you need the supernatural power of God, which He gives us through the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. The Spirit is a person. And we've got to walk in the Spirit. The word walk here is the normal Greek word, which means to just walk. You know, in Scripture, there are times when it describes the Christian life as a run. You know, when it talks about ministry, when it talks about urgency, when it talks about rewards, it says in 1 Corinthians 9, run in a way that you can win. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we're encompassed by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with endurance or patient endurance the race set before us. Sometimes it says, it describes the Christian life as a run, but you know what? The majority of the times in the New Testament, it describes the Christian life as a walk. A walk. Walking out the Christian life. It says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. It says, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. It says, walk in a manner worthy of God who called you to glory in His kingdom. We're to walk. You know, this is something we are to live out. And the word, by the way, walk, means continue to walk. Continue to walk. This is walk it out. Walk it out in your home. Walk it out in your place of employment. Walk it out in the marketplace or in the church. We're to continue to live under the power of the Holy Spirit. We're to walk this out. It's got to get down into our day-to-day life, walking by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says, if we do that, what's the result? We will not carry out the desire of the flesh. In fact, that's a really powerful statement. When it says that, it is a very strong statement. It reads something like this in the original. You will by no means, no way, no how, you will not, it's a double negative, you will not carry out, fulfill, perform the desire, the craving, the longing, the lust of the flesh. He'll not do it. Listen, the flesh is not overcome by trying. The flesh is overcome by faith and by walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. As we yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Him, we'll talk about this in a minute, but allow Him to control our lives, we'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. That's victory. That's victory. Now, having said that, the conflict is real. The conflict is real. We talked about the conflict already, and some people have come to me and have been really struggling, and they say, Pastor, maybe I'm not a Christian. I mean, this struggle, I'm just struggling, and the battle is so strong, maybe I'm not a Christian. Do you know what? The fact that you are struggling maybe is a sign you are a Christian. Just take that. Receive that, okay? Because we're all struggling. We all struggle with this. And if we are walking in the Spirit, he says, you're not going to carry out the desire of the flesh. Well, are you walking in the Spirit? Well, let's take a look at the characteristics of one, first of all, walking in the flesh. Look at verses 19 through 21. Look down. This is the characteristics of one who's walking in the flesh. And by the way, he calls them the works of the flesh. If you yield to the flesh and walk by in the flesh, the works of the flesh will be manifested. Will be manifested. What are they? Sexual sins. He lists immorality. That's the word porneia. The word we get pornography from. It means any kind of sexual sin, adultery, having sex with another person's spouse, fornication, premarital sex, homosexuality. You could go on and on and on and on and on. Any of the sexual sins. Impurity, that's uncleanness. That is filthiness of heart and mind that makes a person defiled. Evil thoughts, foul mouth, swearing. Sensuality. I think the King James says lasciviousness, which is debauchery, a wanton appetite for sin that knows no shame. And then there's the religious sins, idolatry, putting anything or anyone before God, covetousness, which amounts to, the Bible says, idolatry, sorcery. King James says witchcraft. That's the word. You know what the word is there? Pharmakia. It's the word we get pharmacy from. And it literally, you know what it literally means? Use of drugs. Use of drugs. We see the epidemic of drugs. The opioid epidemic. Just heard of another young man dying of an overdose just this last week. Sorcery, occult activities. And then there's social sins. Social sin. Listen to these sins. Enmities. An attitude which challenges and defies others. Just wanting to defy. Strife. The word Eris, which is was the goddess of strife or quarrels. You know anybody that's quarrelsome? Jealousy. Jealous of other people's positions, possessions, gifts. Outbursts of anger, wrath. And my wife gave me an illustration. She used it last week in her Sunday school class. It's this word for outbursts of anger means stirring of emotions, then explosion. And she took a pop can. And she said, I can open this pop can. And you know, you can open a pop can. But what happens when you shake that pop can and then you open it? What happens? It explodes. Do you know anybody like that? They get worked up inside and then they explode. That's an outburst of anger. disputes, strife, party spirit, dissensions, having a divisive spirit, trying to divide, and factions, which is the word heresis, word we get heresy from, divisive spirit, envy. Then there's the personal sins, drunkenness and carousing, revelings, orgies, drinking parties. And he says, and things like these, let me add a couple more, things like these, laziness, touchiness, judgmentalism, critical spirit, gossip, worry, pessimism, selfishness, lying, wastefulness, abusiveness, fearfulness, pride, and that's the short list. And things like these. I'll tell you what, it's evidence of walking in the flesh. And do you see what he says at the end of verse 21? Look at the end of verse 21. He says, I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those, and King James says do, but it's better, practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? Now, it doesn't mean if you do one of these things. It's not meaning if I commit one of these sins. But if your lifestyle, listen, if your lifestyle is to practice stuff like that, and that is sick, isn't it? That is just an awful list. But if your lifestyle is characterized by that, guess what? You're not saved. You need to get saved. Because that's the lifestyle of somebody that's in the flesh. And if it's a habitual, if your life is a habitual, that stuff, then you need to come today and you need to call in the name of the Lord and get saved. And he can deliver you from that. He can deliver us from that. But I like the next portion, verses 22 and 23, number 4, the characteristics of walking in the Spirit. Like this list a lot better, amen? Like this list a lot better. First of all, I want you to note a couple things before we just read through that list. Note the difference between, listen, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. These things are not something that you can work up. These things are not something you can produce by trying harder. These are fruit. I remember when I was growing up, we had fruit trees in my backyard. And I'll tell you, I never saw those trees back there just straining to produce fruit. They just came. It just came. And you don't try harder to do these things, and they happen. This is something the Spirit produces in you, in you, in you. And a second observation here. The Spirit produces them when we're under His influence, and the results of walking in the Spirit, listen, is not some weird experience. Weird esoteric experience. If you go online today, there's stuff happening in churches that are weird. I mean, it is just weird. And they're saying, we're filled with the Spirit. And they're doing really weird stuff. Now, hear me now. And also, you know what? It's not even a mystical experience. Well, I got filled with the Spirit and the heavens opened and a light shaft came down and angels. You know what the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is? It'll change your character and your conduct. That's big. It'll change you. And so what are the fruit of the Spirit? Isn't this a beautiful list? Love, agape, unconditional divine love. Joy, which is not happiness. Happiness depends on the happenings. Happiness is like a thermometer. It rises and falls with the environment. But joy is like a thermostat. It affects its environment. It's deeper than happiness. It's the joy of the Lord. love, joy, peace, arene, shalom. Again, this is a supernatural peace, not depending on the circumstances. Patience. Patience, the ability to idle your motor when you feel like stripping your gears. Patience. Love, joy, peace, patience. Kindness. Where do you find that today? Where do you find kindness out in the world? You know what Proverbs says? What's desirable in a man is his kindness. Kindness. Goodness. Doing good. Faithfulness. Dependability. Gentleness. Being gentle. Not getting your face. You know, the thing is today in the world and on our side, get in your face. You come after me, I'm going after you. I'm going to get in your face. There's no gentleness. No meekness. And meekness in the Bible, meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. And self-control. Where's that? Self-control. But what a beautiful list. You know why it's so beautiful? It describes Jesus. This is Jesus. Jesus loved us so much. He loved you so much. He died on the cross for you and for me. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Jesus, love, joy, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He's joyful. Peace, he's the Prince of Peace. I'll tell you what, when the storm's raging and the winds and the waves are coming over the boat, where's Jesus? Just take a little nap. Peace, patience, oh my, oh my. Aren't you glad Jesus is patient? God is not slow as some count slowness, but he is patient with us. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Kindness, you didn't find anybody kinder than Jesus. You know, and by the way, he saved us according to the kind intentions of his will. He's kind. Kindness, faithfulness, I'll tell you how faithful he was. He was faithful to go to the cross and stay on that cross all the way to the end until he could say, it is finished. Gentleness, take my yoke upon you, he said. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. He was gentle. He's a gentle Savior. Self-control, I'll tell you what, how much self-control did he have to have when they were beating him? When they were lashing him? When they were spitting in his face? When they put him on the cross and nailed him to the cross? When all he had to say is, you're done. And he could have wiped them all out. You talk about self-control. This is Jesus. That's why this list is so beautiful, because we got a beautiful Savior. It's beautiful. And he continues on. He says, these are the fruits of being filled with and walking in the Spirit. This is the victorious Christian life. In verse 23, look at verse 23 at the end. It says, against such things there's what? No law. We're not under law. We're not under the law anymore. The law's done its work if you're a Christian. We're not under law. And when we walk in the Spirit, you know what? There's no law against loving and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness. There's no law. We're free. We're free. Now, I'm going to finish here. Last point. What's the key? The key is the control of the Holy Spirit. The control of the Holy Spirit is the key. How do you walk in the Spirit? How do we do this? He says, walk in the Spirit. How do you do it? Well, number one, first of all, you get saved. Right? You can't walk in the Spirit unless you have the Spirit. And you get the Spirit when you get saved. That's why he says in verse 24, now those who belong to Christ. Let me ask you, do you belong to Christ? You may be here this morning. Have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? Because if you haven't, you don't belong to him. But today can be your day. All you have to do, it's nothing you have to work for. He's done the work. The cross, he said, it is finished. Every other religion says, do, 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 do. Christianity says, done. All you have to do is receive the finished work of Christ, and you have to give Christ your life. Give Christ your life. And when you say, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner, and I'm willing to turn from going my way to you and believe on you, you will be saved. And before you can walk in the Spirit, you have to have the Spirit. And when you have him, when you belong to Christ, you've crucified the flesh and the passions and its desires. So do you belong to Christ? Have you been saved? First step in being walking in the Spirit, you got to have the Spirit. So you, by faith, receive Jesus Christ into your life. Number two, by faith, you need to appropriate the filling of the Holy Spirit. Appropriate. Now put these verses down, Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. Because over in Ephesians, he tells us, this is the will of God. What is it? Do not get drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. That's God's will. That we, and the word means keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. See, when you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to reside within. You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Amen. But we can over and over again be filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody came to D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist, and he always said, you got to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And they said to him, Pastor Moody, why do you keep on emphasizing be filled with the Spirit over and over? Why do you have to be filled over and over again with the Spirit? And he said, because I leak. I'll tell you what, I don't know if that's good theology, but I'm going to tell you what. We need to be filled over and over again with the Holy Spirit. And we need, how do you do that? You come to him. It's God's will. And we know if we pray anything according to God's will, what? He'll hear us. And if he hears us, what? He'll do it. So we can come today and we can say, Lord, I'll tell you what Linda and I do every morning. My wife Linda and I, here's what we do almost every morning. We pray together, first of all. But we go in, and Linda came up with this. We reset our default. You know, on the computer, you have a default, like the size of the type, and might be on 12 type. That's the default. It always goes there. If you want to change that, you've got to do something. You've got to change it. We change our default. We go before the Lord, and we say, Lord, we confess to you that we're sinners. Our default in our own flesh is to sin. That's who we are. True confession, huh? The pastor. But that's who we are. That's my default. But Lord, this morning, we want to change our default to Spirit-filled living. Because you know what, Lord? We're looking at our day. We can't live for Christ today in our own flesh. So fill us with your Spirit. And that's what we need to do. Amen? We need to ask him. We need to yield to him. We need to put ourselves under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's how you begin to walk in the Spirit. First of all, by faith, you receive Christ in the Holy Spirit. Second of all, you appropriate the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then third of all, listen, by faith, you keep walking in the Spirit. Look at verse 25. Verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now it's interesting. The word walk here is a different word walk than over in verse 16. The verse 16, it's the Greek word just for natural walking. This word is different. This word means step in order or keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, I thought about this. When I was in the Army, when I went to basic training, we had drill. Y'all remember drill? All you Army guys and Marines and is our Faith back here any place? Yeah, you remember. You drill. And they teach you to march. And you got to keep what? In step. But there was always one idiot that would get out of step. And you're going along and they're stepping on your feet and the back and you're, you know, just they're out of step. And they actually, you remember, they taught us how to get back in step. Did I do it? Ready? You see it? You get back in step. And if that's the word here, get in step with the Spirit. You see, we're going through the day. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I prayed in the morning, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, the flesh pops up. And I say something I shouldn't have said, or I do something I shouldn't have done, and I blow it. I'm out of step. What do I need to do? You confess that sin to the Lord. He knows anyhow. He knows. You confess the sin to the Lord, and you appropriate the Holy Spirit. Okay, Holy Spirit, I want to get back in step with you. And you start walking in the Spirit again. Folks, that is the key to living the victorious Christian life. Listen, you will always have a battle. This is a war that there is no release from this war. You will not be released until you go home to be with Jesus. The battle's going to rage on. I don't care how old you are in the Lord. It's going to go on. But we can have victory. You see, I'm going to say two things here, and I'm done. Two natures dwell within my breast. The one is foul, the one is blessed. The one I love, the one I hate. And the saying goes, the one I feed will dominate. So you know what? You feed that flesh on junk, that flesh is going to get stronger. You feed the Spirit on the Word of God, the Spirit's going to get stronger. But I'm going to change that right now, change that saying. Two natures dwell within my breast. One is foul, one is blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, listen, the one I yield to will dominate. Walk in the Spirit, church, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we just thank you that God, we acknowledge before you, we cannot live this Christian life in our own strength and in our own power. We need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, come and fill me now. Fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Jesus, come and fill me now. If you're here today and you have never received Christ as your Savior, all that it takes is faith, even faith of a mustard seed, to say, Lord, I'm going to turn to you. I don't want to go my own way. I want to go your way. And I'm going to put my faith in Jesus right now. Save me, Lord. I call on the name of Jesus to save me. If you're here and never accepted Christ, call. Call now. Ask him to save your soul. If you're a Christian here today, and Lord, it's been a miserable struggle, and the flesh has been winning, maybe winning the battle, or maybe not. But I'll tell you what, we all need to cry out to him today. Fill me now. Fill me now. Would you do that? Would you ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit? I'm going to ask you to come up here and even pray at this altar. And let's just ask the Lord that we be a Spirit-filled church, walking in the victory that Christ has already won for us. Lord, do a work in our hearts and lives right now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I invite you to come. We're going to be singing. And here's the key, I surrender. I surrender all. So if you'd like to come and pray up at this altar, pray for us. You can stand, and we're going to be singing. I'm going to be here asking God to give us a Spirit-filled church. If you'd like to come, you come today.